You're listening to Source Daily. Join us Monday through Friday to stay up to date on what's happening in North Central Ohio. We'll be sharing a closer look at one of our top stories, along with other news, local history, memorials, answers to your questions, and more. To celebrate our 10-year anniversary, we're taking a look back at some of the biggest stories and our favorite memories. Today, we're going back in time to 2016. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our friends and sponsors at ReVision LASIK and Cataract Surgery. With over 25 years of proven commitment to the Central Ohio community, their team and knowledgeable Ohio eye surgeons are dedicated to bringing you into focus. To learn more, visit revisioneyes.com today. Now our feature story. Richland Source is grateful to be celebrating 10 years of local reporting across North Central Ohio. While other newspapers in Ohio and across the nation have closed their doors during this time, we've embraced the digital era without compromising on quality journalism. If having a trusted, independent news source in your community is important to you, please visit richlandsource.com/members to become a member and support our work. Now let's head back to our fourth year, 2016.
Well, greetings, everybody. Welcome to another podcast marking the 10-year anniversary of Richland Source. My name is Carl Hunnell, and I'm the city editor at Richland Source, a spot that I've occupied on a full-time basis since 2019. I've been doing probably newspaper business related around the state of Ohio for, my goodness, 40-plus years. So there is that.
Yes, he's a veteran.
I'm old.
And I'm Haley Trichew. I'm an advertising account executive at Source Brand Solutions, focusing mostly on Richland Source and Knox Pages. And I've been over here a little over a year. Feels like a lot longer, but yeah, it's been great.
Time flies when you're having fun, and my goodness, it
fun it has been,
here.
Yes.
All right, so Haley, what are we doing here today? What is the purpose of our presence in this room?
Well, so we are going to review the year 2016. We're going to recap some local news from that year, talk about what was going on in the world, what was going on with Richland Source, and just, give you the lowdown.
That's 2016. That seems like two or three or four lifetimes ago at this point, all the things that have gone. I mean, 2016, if you just look on a national, global level, what a really weird year. I mean, this was the year that Donald Trump got elected president. It was so weird.
We had to vote for the lesser of two evils, that was for sure.
Well, I've been doing that for 40 years. I remember that night, though. I had just gotten my hip replaced.
Oh, my Lord.
That day, and I was in the hospital in Galleon, and I was really doped up on pain medication. And I was lying in my hospital bed, dozing in and out, watching election results. And suddenly they came on and said that Donald Trump had been elected president.
And you thought it was the drugs.
I immediately stopped pushing the button. No more. Something's gone really wrong. But no, Donald Trump got elected, and history repeating itself. It looks like he may want to run again in 2024.
Oh, Lord.
2016 also gave us something called the Zika virus.
Now, who would have thought that something could have come worse than that? Because that was scary.
Yeah, the Zika virus at one time in 2016 was like, you know, public health enemy number one.
Uh-huh.
Now it's like, who remembers something called Zika?
I remember canceling a trip to Cedar Point for my son's birthday because we were afraid of the Zika virus.
Man, who knew? Who knew that something would come along that would make that pale in comparison? Now, in 2016, Haley, any idea how much the price of gas was?
Oh, I'm going to say $3.19.
Well, you're pretty close. You're only off by $1.05. Gas was $2.14 a gallon on average for the year, the lowest since 2004.
How much were eggs, though?
Depends on whether you raise them in your own backyard, which, by the way, you still can't do in Mansfield. City Council, that's one of the larger stories of the year. The backyard chicken debate took place before Mansfield City Council. It was a wide-ranging, well-shelled bunch of chicken scratch.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, thank you very much. But ultimately, in 2017, City Council voted 7-1 to deny backyard chicken coops.
I think we need to revisit that.
Well, we certainly could, because almost everybody that was on city council that participated in that vote is no longer on city council. We have a whole fresh face. So listen, backyard chicken devotees, if you're interested, maybe try again. That was kind of a fun thing to cover.
Yeah.
What else happened in 2006? We had Brexit.
Yeah.
Well, we had the passage of Brexit, which is England wanting to get out of the European Union. But like all things with politics and government do, nothing happens overnight. I mean, it literally took years and years before they finally figured out how to break away. What else happened in 2016 that will really stir the minds and hearts of sports fans?
Of sports fans. Oh, yeah. The Cavs won an NBA title, the first in 15 years. That was a big deal. I remember watching that whole ceremony.
It was a great parade.
Yeah.
LeBron James did what he said he was going to do. He came back home and won an NBA title. Players took their shirts off. It was quite the parade, and since then, the Cavs are on the upswing. They got a young team, but who knows when we'll see a repeat of that fantastic season.
Yeah.
All right, let's turn around and look at what's going on locally, what was going on locally. What was, in your mind, the biggest local story of 2016, Haley?
Oh, I'm going to have to go with Sean Great. There was a lot of news coverage for him. He led police on a foot chase in June, lasted an entire day. The following day, there was a fire on Park Avenue where they found a victim back behind the house that he had murdered. He was accused of three different murders and an abduction. And one of the girls, she was on Covert Avenue in Ashland, escaped and called and led the police to the house where they found two more bodies. And it was just pretty scary. It was a scary situation.
Well, it's not every day, thankfully, that you have a notorious serial killer right in your own backyard. And you're absolutely right. He was ultimately convicted of the deaths of five different women, which he carried out for, I think, like 2006 to 2016. Strangled them, beat them, stabbed them. Just a really, really nasty guy. He was arrested when a woman actually called 911 asking for help after Great kidnapped her. And believe it or not, he was given multiple death penalty sentences, life sentences. Now, Ohio hasn't carried out a death penalty since I can't remember when. But Sean Great will never see the outside of a jail cell. He's currently 46 years old, resides at the Chillicothe Correctional Institution. Don't know how long he'll be there, whether they'll send him someplace else eventually. But, yeah, Sean Gray, 2016, notorious serial killer right here in Mansfield, Ashland, Marion. Yeah. We don't claim him as our own.
No, but, we don't. No, we don't.
He certainly was a big news highlight in 2016.
He was.
So what else was going on in 2016?
Oh, let's see. So Mansfield City Schools was released from their fiscal emergency. They had been on since 2013. Dave Yost came in and released it. So during the fiscal emergency, over about 150 people lost their jobs. It was broke down as 95 certified staff, 5 administrators, 90 teachers, and 53 classified staff, which was custodians, secretaries, and paraprofessionals. And then they shut down Newman Elementary School. So that was a pretty big deal for the area.
Yeah, fiscal emergency, something we're familiar with in the city of Mansfield. The city was in fiscal emergency itself about 10, 15 years ago. And what happens when you have a state of fiscal emergency? That's when the state of Ohio, in this case, was Auditor Dave Yost, now the Attorney General, came in and said, you guys aren't taking well enough care of your finances. You're not getting enough money in. You're spending too money. So we're going to form a committee and we're going to figure out what you need to cut in order to get back on the financial straight and narrow path. They did that. Those cuts were made. Since then, things have improved a little bit. Update you on Mansfield City School finances. November of last year, 2022, they did combine successfully two different school levies, put them on the ballot together. Voters approved it. And it generates almost $8 million a year in annual operating revenue. you know, no school district superintendent or treasurer will ever tell you that they have enough money.
Right.
They're always looking for more while they're looking for ways to trim expenses. But at the same time, right at the moment, no fiscal emergency exists for Mansfield City Schools, thankfully for that. But that was a huge story in 2016.
Yeah.
Talking, we were looking earlier and we saw kind of a, it's not a huge story, but it's certainly one that's close to the heart of local residents. Talk about the Shawshank tree.
The Shawshank oak fell in July. It was a huge deal. It was used as a prop in the Shawshank movie in 1994, and it actually had been damaged before in 2011. Actually, it was 5 years and one day after the 2011 damage that it fell. It was on private property, so the people that own the property put out a post just requesting people to not enter and not to trespass. But that was kind of heartbreaking for the people around here.
Certainly the movie The Shawshank Redemption is something that will always resonate with the people of Mansfield and Richland County. I mean, what a tremendous movie that was. Made such a buzz around town when it was being made. I mean, we had Timothy Robbins. We had Morgan Freeman. Yeah. We had a legitimate classic.
I remember that, too. Even as young as I was, I remember it being a huge deal.
And it was funny because when the movie opened, it absolutely bombed.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was death at the box office. But thanks to the TV channels and home video and things like that, I believe it today is the number one ranked movie of all time, which is really odd when you consider we have such classics as Gone with the Wind.
Oh, yeah.
And what was the one about the little girl and the witch in the house? Wizard of Oz.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what
yep.
it was. Yep. But Shawshank, top movie of the year. In fact, Shawshank led it. You know, one of the things our boss has asked us to do when we did this podcast was reflect on your favorite memory. And I think if it's not my favorite memory, it's certainly one of my favorites, is when I covered the Shawshank 25th anniversary celebration.
Oh, okay.
Some of the folks who were involved with it came back to town, including the director.
Oh, I bet that was awesome.
We had Ben Mankiewicz, who does Turner Classic Movies, things like that, just a very well-known movie critic. We had, like I said, the director, the actors, Bob Gunton came back to town. And they had a big event at the Renaissance Theater where they had all of these actors and people involved up on stage, and they all told the stories of the making of the movie.
Okay.
And then they, you know, just a wonderful time. So if I think back to my favorite memories of working at Richland Source, I think covering the 25th anniversary of the Shawshank Redemption movie production, I think, would certainly be there.
Yeah, that had to be something cool to be a part of. I just know this area is just kind of known for prisons and Shawshank, you know? You drive around and there's all kinds of, we have all the different movie sites marked, and there's a Shawshank driving tour that Destination Mansfield puts on, and it's kind of been our claim to fame.
Yeah, I know if you talk to Lee Tassif over at Destination Mansfield, Richland County, he will tell you that he is grateful to wake up every morning knowing that no matter what else happens, he's got Shawshank Redemption in his back pocket.
Yep.
And also the incarceration, talking of Shawshank being filmed at the former Ohio State Reformatory.
Yep.
He's also very grateful he has incarceration coming up again this year, which draws mega amounts of
people. I mean, just the reformatory alone with the Halloween haunted stuff that they do. I mean, it's pretty cool to have that here.
Yeah, I had the opportunity, I think, 3 or 4 years in a row to work as a hauntee.
Oh, was
or
it
hauntor.
So fun?
It'll be hauntee or hauntor. Anyway, to work is like a scary person. It's a lot of fun, tons of people, but also can be very exhausting.
I'm sure.
To try to scare people.
That's a lot of energy.
You know, I don't mind scaring people at city council and county commissioners, but it's a little harder when you're doing that.
Well, speaking of scaring people, the other viral story that we had from 2016 was, who remembers all the scary clowns that were popping out of the woods at people? We had an Ontario teen, Dusty Boggs. She was 17, taking her dog out, and the clown was about 8 to 10 feet from her fence. The first time the clown came to her property, she said that it was in a jumpsuit, an orange wig, holding an axe, and then the next day, I believe, visited her again, and this time he was in an, or he or she, a balloon-type outfit with rainbow hair and a machete. If that wouldn't freak you out, I don't know what would.
Yeah, I am not a fan of clowns.
I'm not either.
I'm pretty sure when I was really young, which was back in 1846, I was terrified by a clown at a young age. So yeah, I would not be in favor of anyone ever bringing back that particular story.
No.
That would not be any fun at all.
She lived out on 314 in Ontario, but I know that we had some other reports that dated back early as August. Mansfield, Shelby, and Galleon all had sightings that year. I just remember my son, who was in fourth grade at that time, wanted to be a clown for Halloween. And I was like, are you out of your damn mind? Someone's going to shoot you.
Yeah,
no, can't do it.
We're not doing clowns. You can be a ghost. And yes. Put, you know, something like that. You can be Batman. You can be Superman. But you are not going to be a damn clown. You know, there were also lots of cool things going on at Richland Source at that time in 2016. You want to talk a little bit about those things?
Yeah, so right now we still do Newsroom After Hours, which is just a way that we highlight local musicians and bands. But in 2016, it was the first time that we had released a Newsroom After Hours album. Now we just stream it on all the different sources or services. So we still do professional recording, but you can find it on Spotify, Apple, Tidal, anywhere that you can stream. What else happened that year? 2016, we won Small Business of the Year.
Yay!
With the Chamber. Since then, we have been nominated a couple different times. I know since I've been here, we've been nominated twice in Knox County. Still verdicts out on Ashland. They think that we got nominated, but we weren't sure.
If we weren't, we certainly
should
have been.
Yeah, hopefully it's coming, if not.
And like a close election, we will immediately demand a recount if we find that we're not nominated.
Exactly. Couple other things. The New York Times trumpeted Richland Source's journalism project. So we had two different national honors
awards
a week.
Yep.
For Solutions Journalism. Brittany Shock, she does a great job with that. So,
yeah, Solutions Journalism is something that certainly separates Richland Source from the traditional kinds of news media that's out there.
Yeah.
When I say traditional, I mean the kind of thing that I did for a really long time. It's not enough to talk about problems. With Solutions Journalism, we also want to spend time looking at who else is doing it differently, who else is doing it better, and maybe so we don't always have to reinvent the wheel locally, we can take solutions that other people have figured out and try to see if we can apply those locally.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know what? Our time is about up. That's going to do it for this podcast. It comes and goes quickly. This was a look back at 2016 in Richland Source history. Thanks for listening, reading, caring about all things Richland Source, as well as Ashland Source and Knox Pages as we've grown over the last decade. Again, my name is Carl Hunnell. You can find me on Facebook. I am on Twitter at Carl Hunnell. I'm told I have an Instagram account, though I have no idea what it is. And I don't know anything about Snapbook and InstaFace and that kind of stuff. So you can also email me at carl.hunnell@richlandsource.com.
And I am Haley Trichu. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. I have TikTok. Don't really do much on Twitter.
TikTok?
Yeah.
Oh, my
hey,
God.
Hey, we have a Richland Source TikTok now, and it's taken off. So if you're not following us, follow us. But you can also send me an email at Haley@RichlandSource. That's HAYLEY.com.
And thank you very much, Haley.
Yeah.
Thank you for making this relatively painless and easy.
It was fun.
And I look forward to maybe doing something again in 10 more years.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, guys.
Next, we're excited to highlight the litter lady. As a semi-truck driver, Mansfield's Shannon Turk couldn't ignore the trash she saw everywhere. But instead of complaining, she did something about it. She created the Litter Lady, a service targeting local businesses offering specialized cleanups. Now, she cleans the exterior grounds of businesses, picking up everything from cigarette butts to bottles and cans. Her services are personalized, with visits as frequent as 5 times a week, depending on client needs. With an hourly rate between $35 and $50, she's targeting larger businesses, which often overlook the necessity of maintaining clean exteriors. As Turk expands her service, she hopes to involve family and extend to areas including Columbus and Cleveland. Turk sees this as more than just a business. It's about community pride and presenting a cleaner, greener neighborhood. Finally, we'd like to take a moment to remember and celebrate the life of Veronica Schaefer. She passed away at her home, surrounded by her family, after a courageous battle with cancer. Veronica was born in Shelby in 1977 and was a lifelong resident. She graduated from Shelby High School in 1995 and worked as a hairstylist for 27 years. Veronica was a member of the Crossroads Community Church and enjoyed fishing, exercising, dancing, singing karaoke, listening to music, and writing her own poems and songs. Veronica was an inspiration to people through her blog, where her goal was to empower women to never give up their fight and to stay strong through their own diagnosis. She touched many people's lives, her smile lit up the room, and her laugh was contagious. She'll be greatly missed by all who had the opportunity to know her. In addition to her parents, she is survived by her son, siblings, grandmother, nieces and nephews, best friend, and many cousins, uncles, aunts, and other relatives and close friends. Veronica is also survived by her loving canine companion and protector, King. Thank you for taking a moment to celebrate and remember Veronica's life. You can submit an obituary for free on Richland Source. To learn more, click the link in our show notes or visit richlandsource.com/obituaries/submit. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow. Also, make sure to head over to richlandsource.com and click the Be a Member button to help support independent local journalism that informs and inspires. Every contribution goes to helping us make Richland County a better place and to help keep our journalism free. Also, if you like this podcast and want to hear more, make sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.